Amen.
Show us the practicality of the experience in our daily life.
Amen.
We give you the meeting tonight and tomorrow.
Amen.
That you will open our eyes and grant us much light and revelation.
Amen.
Concerning this matter.
Amen.
Amen. We trust in you.
Amen.
Put our trust in our great heavenly High Priest.
Amen.
Amen. Well, one thing I should mention again is that the reality of all of these that we are talking about, concerning the materials, concerning the gold, the silver, the bronze, concerning the precious stones or the fine linen, and all of these wonderful materials for the building, today the reality is the Spirit now indwelling our human spirit. Without our spirit, it is impossible for us to experience it. So that is why the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, of reality. Because the word truth also means reality, the substance. So Christ is the substance of all the shadows in the Old Testament times. And the Spirit today is the substance and reality of what Christ is to us. So in order to experience all of this that we are talking about, the key is still to live and walk according to the Spirit. So praise the Lord for that. And I think, you know, we all know about this already, but for the sake of the young ones, we really need to see how important it is that we learn to walk by the Holy Spirit within us. And as Brother mentioned, when we're having dinner tonight, in Romans chapter 8, we still have to set our mind on the Spirit. Right? And to be led by the Spirit. And Paul says to walk according to the Spirit. And only in this way can we day by day experience the reality of Christ, because He is in our spirit today. And because we are born again in our spirit, that is why, like our brother said, we are all members of the body of Christ. Right? But not the flesh. The flesh is not a member of the body of Christ. It's an enemy. Right? Causing so much trouble and many problems. But if we walk and live by the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, then we can experience and gain such a wonderful Christ. Then the Lord's humanity can replace our humanity. This is why we say, may the Spirit and all of the fullness of Christ permeate our being. Right? So this is still the key, right? But you cannot just say, I'm going to be in my spirit and without knowing all this truth. So then why are you going to be in your spirit? Why are you living in your spirit? Right? It is not just to be in the Spirit, but to walk and have our whole being according to the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord dwells. Right? Maybe we can read Galatians chapter 5 again. Let's go to Galatians first, right? Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. I say then, let's read together, verse 7, 16 to 17, right? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Praise the Lord. So you can really see you have two options to live today. You can choose whether you want to live and walk according to the flesh and you have a lot of problems, or you live and walk according to the Holy Spirit within our spirit. You have two options. And then these two are contrary to each other. Praise the Lord. And this is why Paul prayed that our inner man will be strengthened through the Holy Spirit. And there's a need of that, right? So it is necessary for us to pray, Lord, strengthen my inner man, so that we can apprehend Christ together. We can gain this wonderful Christ. Amen. And all of this, what we're talking about, can be realized and experienced by us if we walk according to the Spirit. Now, that's why, since we're in Galatians 5, let us read one more verse. Right, and it says here in verse 25, or verse 24 and 25, but in 25, let's make a little improvement in the translation. Since we have life in the Spirit, or in spirit, right, because the article is not there, let us also walk by the Spirit. Right, this makes this verse more clear and understandable. We have life in the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that you will walk according to the Spirit. Right? To have life, since we are born again and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our spirit, that's one thing. But to walk according or by the Spirit, that is another story. Right? It doesn't mean that now you're born again, you automatically walk by the Spirit. No. Because God still gives you a free will. You choose how you're going to live. Right? So, since we have life in the Spirit, or in our spirit, then let us also walk by the Spirit. And then in verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we have to learn to put away the flesh on the cross, crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And that reality is also today realized in our spirit. Right? Amen. So let's continue with the garment of the priest. Where were we? We're talking about the ephod, right? In Exodus chapter 28, let's go fast tonight. It's important. So we cannot go into full details, but just to have really a general concept of what all these things mean. Right? So in Exodus chapter 28, let's continue. We are in verse 15, right? In verse 15, after you have the ephod, remember the ephod is made of blue, right? That means it is a heavenly. The expression of the priest should be a heavenly expression. Then you shall make a breastplate of judgment. It's called a breastplate of judgment. But the word judgment also means discernment. Because you cannot judge if you cannot discern. Right? And the judgment is here not just to judge people, no. But to judge what is right and what is not right. You need to be able to separate, to discern what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. And why do I say this? Because this breastplate is a pocket. A pocket. It's like your pocket. And in this pocket, two stones were put in that pocket. It's called Urim and Thummim. Right? You all know this. But very strange. The Bible never explained where these two stones came from. There's no explanation. God didn't tell us as if Moses already knew where they are and what they are. So the Lord just told Moses, you put these two stones, Urim and Thummim, into the pocket, but where they came from, what they are, what color, what they look like, we don't know. We just know the meaning of these two words. It is light and perfection. These two words, right? You can say it. One is a light to give you light, and secondly, to give you the judgment, the truth. That means through the stones, the Lord will make known his will to the high priest. Right? So this is a pocket. But now let's take a look at this wonderful breastplate that is supposed to be attached to the ephod. Again, it must be artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. That means you need to be a very skilled person. And you shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread. This is really wonderful. So you can really see everything is corresponding to the material in the tabernacle. Right? I cannot really explain everything to you. Firstly, because I don't know everything. And secondly, we don't have the time, okay? But you just have to know that the priesthood is fully attached and correspond to the tabernacle. Right? We cannot be something else. So, and it shall be doubled into a square, because now it's going to be a pocket. That's why it's doubled. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. So you have a span, right? And it is a square. It is a square. Everything that God does is a square. Even the Holy of Holies is 10 by 10 by 10. The height is 10 cubits. Length is 10 cubits. Width is 10 cubits. You know, it really is amazing, because Jerusalem is exactly also a square, right? Because that shows us that our God is very balanced. All sides are equal in length, right? We, in our humanity, in whatever we are not very balanced. We are always extremist. Either we are very silent, or we are very loud. Right? We are either this way or that way. Right? It's very difficult to find a person who is really balanced except our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ has four faces. The front face is a man. The back is an eagle. The right is an ox or a lion. And the left is an ox. Right? Very, very balanced. He's both God and man. He's both a king and a slave. Right? It's very hard to see a leading one who is willing to bow down low. Right? So you don't see that. Right? But the Lord is both a lion, he's a king, and at the same time, he's an ox, he's a slave. He's both God, and yet he is man. So balanced in every way. So here you can really see everything here is a square. And then you shall put setting of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, topaz, and an emerald. And this shall be the first row. So you can see and read for yourself all of these precious stones. Now, it is different than these two onyx stones. It is just the same onyx stones. That means God looked at all of us as the same and equal. But then, on the other hand, each individual is different. So, in the building up of this breastplate, which is a picture of the New Jerusalem, right? All of these 12 stones, different stones, where they are arrayed in 4 and 3. And the New Jerusalem is exactly like this. You have 12 gates, right? Each four side, and each side has 3 gates. So it is 4 and 3. And 4 and 3 has a wonderful meaning. It means that a triune God, through the power of his resurrection, is now mingled with us. Right? We are being saturated by him. He dwells in us, and we dwell in him. Right? So you can really see all these wonderful precious stones. Very different. God is really a wonderful God. There are so many human beings on this earth, right? How many billion? 6 billion. Not one is the same. Right? I heard not two nose look alike. It's really amazing. Right? I don't try to make everyone in the church life the same as you. Right? We can only be conformed to Christ. But don't try to make all the saints the same as you. And that's always a problem in the church life. I'm strict, so I want you also to be very strict. I want to do it this way, you must do it this way. My goodness. God is not like this. How do you know? Well, all the 12 stones are different. Different in color, different in brightness, different in hardness, right? All kinds of differences, but they are all the precious stones transformed. It's good to be different, but not different in the flesh. It's ugly. But when the Lord works on us and we are being transformed into his likeness, yes, you will still be you. I can still know, you're Johann. Right? You're very different from me, right? You sure? Did I try to make you like me? No. Neither should you try to make me like you. But we both have to be like the Lord. Right? And that doesn't mean that at the end we end up the same. No. It'll be very boring if we all look at the end the same, right? But you can see the wonderful New Jerusalem is with all kinds of precious stones. It is so beautiful. So beautiful. You can really see, right? Don't try to make everybody the same as you. Don't do that. Right? We try to make everybody uniform. I know. 同一. Right? Whatever the apostle says, everybody does the same thing. Okay? Otherwise, you're causing division. Then they're going to kick you out. Well, this is terrible, right? This is man's way. Anyway, all these wonderful precious stones, we need to appreciate this. In the church life, we need all kinds of precious stones. Different colors. Everyone is precious in the eyes of God. Right. And don't compare because we are different. Do not compare. Right? So, anyway, here we can see that in this breastplate It is like a mini New Jerusalem. And it is hanged in the ephod and the breast of the high priest. That means Christ really loves the church. It is all the time in his heart. A priest should be concerned not with certain kind of work. We all like to be workers and enlarge our work and go to conquer other churches and rule over them. Why do that? Right? Don't do that. What a great high priest really is concerned about is the churches. He loves the church. He gave his life for the church. And today, he is the great high priest caring for the golden lampstands. Right? So, you can really see hanging on the breast of the ephod is a miniature of the new Jerusalem there. But you know, the Lord's heart is so great that all the churches in his heart, in his heart. And Paul actually is our example. When he talked about all the difficulties and problems he faced, right? In 2 Corinthians, he mentioned a lot of problems. And then he said, on top of that, the cares of all the churches. He's not trying to rule over the churches, but he has a heart to care for the churches. Today, people like to rule, right? But not Paul. He says the care, the love, the care for all the churches, the concern for all the churches. And this is the job of the great high priest. If we want to practice the priesthood today, we should learn from our great high priest. Within your heart, maybe I cannot see it and you cannot see it, but there hanging in your heart must be this wonderful breastplate. Well, what is hanging in your heart? Your business? Your family? You're thinking about your vacation? You're thinking about, what are you thinking about? What is hanging there in your breast? So, we need to see that our great high priest, what a wonderful example, in his heart, you can see, is just God's purpose to fulfill the building up of the new Jerusalem. And indeed, at the very end of the Bible, you see a beautiful, wonderful city of the living God. Right? And then again, this precious stones is set with a golden setting. I really like that. That means the Lord cares for us with his divine love. You remember the great high priest walking in the midst of the golden lampstands in Revelation chapter 1, he was wearing a girdle. You know, normally you wear your girdle right here in the waist, right? Right, isn't it? I don't see any brother here wearing a girdle like this. Right? Except if you wear those hanging, right? But the Lord is wearing a golden girdle around his breast. That means his work is the care of the churches. He loves the churches with a divine love. Do not love the church according to your own fallen, limited, changeable human love. Today you love, tomorrow you don't love him. I love Schubert today, but then he offends me tomorrow. Then I don't love him anymore. No more. This is our love.
Today, you love. Tomorrow, no. The next day, you hate. You change, keep on changing, right? But our Lord's love for the church never changed. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, says he is jealous for the church with a godly jealousy. Normally, jealous is not very good, right? If I'm jealous about you, oh, right, huh? Oh, envy. But not with Paul. Paul is jealous for the church in Corinth with a godly jealousy. Do not love the church just with your natural love. It's not going to work. Pussy. Repent. 不只是会变不爱，会变成恨，是不是？ That's why people talk about the love-hate relationship, right? Sometimes you love, sometimes you hate, and then you love again, and the next day you hate again, and next week, okay, I love you again. Or in the Epic Guitar, right? You know that word, right? He was in the Philippines before, and he learned one very important word, I love you. Right? So, today in the Epic Guitar. Tomorrow,
indeed now.
Indeed now. Tomorrow, no more. No more. He even hates you. Yeah. Right? So, don't love the church with your natural love because it's going to change. And if it changes, it really hurts and destroys the church. Don't do that. But you love with a godly love. With a divine love. And this is why all of these wonderful precious stones are set on golden settings. God's love will never change. Really. Right? If his love changes like our love, then we'll be in trouble. We'll be in trouble. Right? So, and the stones have the names, again, the names of the sons of Israel. 12, according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Right? So important to the Lord. Each one with its own name, and they shall be according to the 12 tribes. Praise the Lord. Now each stone is different, not like here. Right? So may the Lord really open our eyes to see. In the building of the church, remember, it is not according to your age. Here in the shoulder is according to firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, until the Benjamin. From Reuben all the way to Benjamin. It is according to birth. But in the building, it's not according to the birth, it's according firstly to different stones, and then like Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God puts in the body the members according to his will. Don't say I'm older than you, so you listen to me. Wow. Then you're going according to age. Right? But even if according to age, the Lord puts them into stones that are the same. Right? But here in the building, it is not according to the age anymore. No. It is according to where the Lord will put you. I cannot say because I'm older than you have to listen to me. No. That doesn't mean that you don't have to listen. But if you are right, I have to listen to you. Because we are doing the building work and you will never know where the Lord is going to put you and him there in the body. Right? Paul was not the first apostle. Yeah, he may be even younger than Peter. but God has given him a more important work. So it's not according to age. It's not according to when you become an apostle. Right? It's not. It's different. Every one of us is different. That is why we do not want to compare one with one another and to lift up one more than the other. No, we see that it is God who put each one of us here, and each one of us is a precious stone. This is a church, because in the past, I saw so many terrible things. There is the respect of persons, right? It's a right? But with God, it is a few times written, our God has no respect of persons. That means for him, it is all for a building, and he puts where he wants to put you. And if he speaks through you, I have to listen. Right? Learn this. We are in this wonderful building of the New Jerusalem. And then you shall make chains for the breastplates at the end. The four ends, right? And they are braided cords of pure gold. My. Everything that God will use in this building is gold. To bind things together. Don't ever use any human ways to bind things together. Don't just use any kind of cords. Right? You say, oh, it's so expensive, it's hard to get cords braided with gold. Let's just go to the hardware store, Home Depot, and just buy some strings and tie them. Right? It's just the same, right? You think it's the same? No, it's not the same. It's not the same. And if the cords break and everything fell down, you'll be crying. Right? Somebody told me one time they lost one ring, and oh, it's such a big stone, and you got lost. Right? It'll break your heart. So what we need is to bind everything according to the golden cords, which is really wonderful, right? And you put two rings on the two ends of the breastplates, right? Because the rings are also made of gold. Then you shall pull the two braided chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the breastplate chains you shall fasten to the two settings. Wow, my, you read it again and again, you see how tedious our Lord is. Right, it's very, very tedious. Right. And then you shall put on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front, etc., etc. Right, you can read it for yourself. I don't need to read it for you. Please go home and read it. Right? But when you read it, you should realize that God will not use any materials to do his work. Right? Even the garments of the priest is all of gold, all of precious stones, of fine linen, right? With blue and purple and scarlet. Right? You can see it is exactly the same materials, not different, except the precious stones here. Right? So you can see where Paul got the idea again of building with gold, silver, and precious stones, right? Amen. And then it says here, let me just read it, one verse at the very end. And so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. This is the main thing. Nothing should come loose. What verse?
Oh, I'm sorry. What verse? That's verse 28 at the very end. Right? I've seen so many things come loose in the church life because we are very sloppy. At the end, it fell apart. Don't do that. Ask the Lord for instructions. How do you want to fasten a breastplate on the shoulder? Oh, just get some super glue. It's faster, right? You super glue. In the middle, here, hold it for 30 seconds, and that's it. You want to do it with a shortcut way, fast way, and cheap way. Short, fast, and cheap. It's not going to work like that. It's not going to work. Do it according to God's way. Praise the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel and the breastplate of judgment over his heart. You see? Verse 29. Whenever he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. Praise the Lord. This is really very, very important. Right? This is the work of the Lord. If you want to really learn from the Lord to be a priest, you should learn to carry God's purpose, which is the building of the church, which He loves so dearly, bear it in your heart. And bear it in a very specific way, not in a very general way. You should see all those 12 stones engraved with 12 names. Put in gold setting. My, what a wonderful thing. Then, in verse 13, you shall put in the breastplate of judgment, because it's a pocket, the Urim and the Thummim. Right? Here, I think your Bible should have a footnote. I don't know if your Bible has a footnote. Literally means lights and perfections. Right? Yeah. So, the Urim and Thummim shall be placed in this pocket, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So, Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Now, you may ask, what are these two stones? What are they? What are they? Nobody knows. The only thing we know is what they mean. We need the light, and we need the judgment, we need the perfection to know. Not just knowing a little bit, yet to know perfectly what is what. Right? Now, what are these things? It's a mystery. Nobody knows, because there has been no explanation whatsoever in the book of Exodus concerning these two stones. So how are you going to explain what these things are? Because whenever there is an important question regarding the state matter of Israel, whether they have to go to war, what they have to do, etc., what decision they have to make. Many of these important decisions, when the people didn't know what to do anymore, then they bring it to the high priest, and the high priest put on this breastplate, this ephod, and then go into the Holy of Holies, and through these two stones. There are many people are guessing how these two stones work. Nobody knows. A lot of theories. But I don't care about the theories. But all I know is that these two stones reveals God's plan and God's decision through the great high priest to his people. Right? Even the kings, if they need to make a decision, they will go and ask for the revelation from the Urim and Thummim through the high priest. Now today, in the new covenant, how do you know the will of God? Do we have the Urim and Thummim? No? Are you sure? No? It is the anointing. In 1 John chapter 2, you have received the anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, and the anointing will teach you all things. But your question will be, how come I have such a trouble knowing the anointing? I've heard quite a few questions from this. Yeah, I know we have received the anointing, but how come I don't hear the teaching of the anointing? So you explain to me how come. How come? Because these two stones are in the breastplate of the ephod. It is related to the priesthood. 是跟祭司有关系。 It is not in the pocket of the people. Right? It's only in the breastplate of the ephod there worn by the great high priest, by the high priest. So if we are not practicing, in other words, if we are not related to the priesthood, then how are you going to experience the Urim and Thummim? We don't even care for the oneness. And so here the ointment coming down, right? Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in the unity. It is like the oil that flows down from the head of Aaron, the high priest. And we are so unrighteous. Do you love righteousness? Hate lawlessness? Now, this is one condition. One of the conditions that the Lord is really anointed above all of his companions, right? So, hey, there is the condition. Where are these Urim and Thummim placed? It is in the breastplate. Meaning to say that a Urim and Thummim is primarily for the building up of the new Jerusalem. If you, you want to go to college, and he said, Lord, should I study medicine or should I study engineering? And if I go to study engineering, what should I study? Mechanical, electrical? You think Urim and Thummim will tell you? You don't need Urim and Thummim to do that. Yeah, the Lord will tell you. Depends on your interest. Right? If you're afraid of blood, don't study medicine. Some people, when they see blood, they faint. Oh my goodness, you cannot be a doctor. When you see blood, you faint. Right? Impossible. The Lord will not say, but through Urim and Thummim, okay, Johann, study medicine. You'll be fainting every day. Impossible. Right? So, you don't need Urim and Thummim for that. Right? But with regard to the building up of the new Jerusalem, concerning God's plan and God's purpose, what God wants to do today, definitely you need a Urim and Thummim. You need Urim and Thummim. And that's why this Urim and Thummim is placed within that wonderful pocket. Right. And today, yes, we all have the anointing. But the anointing is not just to teach you what shoes you should wear. Lord, what toothpaste should I use? Colgate or Crest? Lord, what does the anointing say? The anointing is not going to tell you what toothpaste you're going to use, or, you know, what color of dress you're going to wear. And no, you don't need Urim and Thummim for that. But with regards to God's purpose, to the carrying out of God's plan, what is He doing today? Lord, how do we accomplish Your purpose on this earth today? How do we fight against Your enemies? How can we gain the victory? Right? How are we going to finish Your building work today? That, you definitely need the Urim and Thummim. And the Urim and Thummim will be very effective to tell you what is God's will. We have always the wrong concept. Oh, we have the anointing. We know all things. Well, I used to think like that. But then I said, it doesn't make sense because I don't know all things. And the Lord didn't tell me all things. What brand of pan should I buy? Doctors or what? I don't need the anointing for that. Right? But praise the Lord concerning God's plan and God's purpose in this universe. I want to experience a Urim and a Thummim, and that is related to the priesthood. If you don't care for the priesthood, you don't care for God's purpose, you're just living for your own life and for your own enjoyment in this world and for this and that, you know? Well, you don't need your Urim and Thummim. God gave you a good mind. You just use your head. Right? But if you care for God's plan and God's purpose, then you definitely need the Urim and Thummim. You definitely need the leading and guidance and the teaching of the holy anointing within you. And believe me, He will talk to you. He will show you. He will give you light and the perfection to show you exactly what He wants to do to accomplish His work perfectly. This is the experience of the Urim and Thummim. This is part of the garment of the high priest. Very important, actually. That's why I dwell a little bit on this point. Right? So if you close your eyes, you can really see the ephod, and you can see wonderful onyx stones there, and you can see the golden setting, and you can see the square pocket there, and outside with 12 precious stones. Right? This is so wonderful. Four rows with three precious stones each. And then inside you have the Urim and Thummim. That is the practice of the heavenly high priest. We still have some time. Let's go on. Are you tired? Bored?
No,
you sure? Right. Yeah. But if we are talking about the priesthood, we need to know all these. Sorry, right? I don't mean to. I don't know. Just to share with you some of these things, but we are talking about a priesthood. Right? If you want to know about a priesthood, you need to know all these things, all right? All right? Sorry about that. Right? I apologize. That is so boring. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? And this is very, very important. And then you shall make a robe of the ephod for all of blue in verse 31. Right? Yeah. Because with the ephod there is a robe, right? And there shall be an opening for his head. In the midst of it, woven binding all around to strengthen the opening of this rope. Otherwise it will tear, so that it does not tear, okay? Nothing must tear in this garment. My goodness, right? Meaning to say everything has to be perfect. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates. Wow, now, you know, inside the ephod there, ephod is like a vest, okay? And then underneath the vest you have a garment. You have a robe. Right? And in the robe, yeah, let's say, yeah, in the robe you have, and the hem of the rope, pomegranates. A bill and a pomegranate. A bill and a pomegranate. All around the hem of the rope. All around. My, my. Why? Pomegranates and a bill and a pomegranate and a bill. You read that carefully again, right? Verse 33. And so, it didn't say how many, but you just have to make as many as it fits all around the hem. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers. And its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, that he may not die. Oh my. Serious. So that means a pomegranate and the bells is not just for decoration, okay? It's not just so that it'll look good. But hey, wherever he goes in and out of the holy place to serve, the bells will be ringing. Why? Why do you need a bell?
To know if you're still alive.
To know if you're still alive. That's a good thought, because it says so that you will not die, right? But it's a good thought, because I heard somebody telling me that also, right, when I was in Germany. so that you will know that you're still alive. No, you will know you're still alive without the bell. But it regards the service. It regards the service. Well, let me just put it in this way tonight. A priest, when he serves, he cannot serve in a secret way. Nobody knows what he's doing. You go in secretly into the holy place and you come out secretly. Nobody knows whether you go in or out. Right? Many of those people who are serving God, they do it in secret because they don't want people to know what they're doing. No sound at all. Over there. Our brother shared with me about somebody who made a decision. Nobody knows he made a decision. And afterwards he come and announced that this decision is made. No sound, no bells. Nobody knows what you are doing. And no life. Pomegranate in the Bible signifies the fullness of life. Have you ever seen a pomegranate? Do you have a pomegranate in the Philippines? No?
pomegranate guava. You have pomegranate in the Philippines, right? It's like a red apple, as round as red, and so many seeds, wonderful seeds, a lot of red seeds inside. You cut it open, wow, right? And if you put it on your face, you, it looks like you have rosy cheeks, full of life, right? It's full of seeds, full of life, it's juicy. And the Bible uses that to signify not just life, but fullness of life. Remember, the Lord says, I came to give you life, period, no? But to give you more abundantly, right? So pomegranate is a picture of the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you serve in that garment, you have in the hem so many pomegranates. How can you serve if you don't have life, and life in abundance? Not just one pomegranate, but many all around the hem. And alternately with a bell, ding, 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 ding. Everybody knows where you are, what you're doing. Huh? You cannot do anything secretly. Sorry, if you want to serve as a priest, don't be secretive about your service. Everything is in the open. Everybody knows what you're doing. If you walk, unless you don't do anything, then nobody knows what you're doing, because there's no sound, so you cannot be a priest standing there afraid to make any sound, so you might as well go to sleep. And don't wear that clothes. But if you want to serve as a priest, every step you do, people know. When you take the next step, ding, 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 ding. Everybody knows what you're doing, where you're going. No secrets. We have nothing to hide. Yes. Well, definitely. That is why only the great high priest can wear it. But in principle, we have to learn. Yes, it is.
Pharaoh must be a very strong man.
Yes, we need to be strengthened in the inner man to really carry and wear that garment. Definitely, right? Otherwise, you'll be every two steps, you'll have to sit down and rest. Right. No, but praise the Lord. That is why Paul prayed, we have to be strengthened in the inner man. We have to be strengthened in the inner man. Right? And so this is such a wonderful, beautiful garment. It is really beautiful. Okay, no doubt about it. You see gold, you see precious stones, you see fine linen, you see, wow, this is really a wonderful garment there. And then you see golden bells with, of course, this is not the real pomegranate hanging, but it is embroidered. I forgot you. Okay. My fault. I apologize. My fault. No, it's not real. But it's real golden bell. The golden bells are real. It makes sounds, but it is right. It is somehow embroidered there, right? Formed into a pomegranate shape. Of course, it doesn't mean that it's that big, right? But symbolically, it is a pomegranate there, right? So you can really see that. After all, it's not that. But it they're still heavy. Anyway, we still need to be strengthened in our inner man, because it is really quite a few layers. Oh, yeah, you have a wonderful picture there, right? That's right, yeah. I'm not sure that a picture is fully justified, right? But it's a good idea to have that picture, right? But we don't care for the picture, but we care for the spiritual meaning, for the spiritual reality, right? Why we need a pomegranate? Because we must serve in the fullness of life in the spirit. And wherever we go, we make the sound. And on the other positive side, the sounding of the bells is like the sounding of the gospel, the word of God. Sound it out like the bells. So there is the positive meaning, right, is that we proclaim the word, we sound out the word of God, right? But here, praise the Lord, it is more that you do not do things secretly, because the warning is, otherwise you die. You will die spiritually. People who do things and serve God secretly like that, only people who do things in darkness do it secretly. You're afraid people would know what you're doing. So you do it in the dark, hidden. We don't do things in our service as a priest secretly. We have nothing to hide. We're not afraid that people will know what we're doing. What we do is all the time in the light, and everybody can see. We don't do things in darkness. No, never do things in darkness. At least the Lord will see and know. And if the Lord sees that, it will be spiritual death. Right? Praise the Lord. And verse 36, you shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of the signet. This is all very serious and very honorable. Holiness to the Lord. There's a golden plate on it. And you shall put it on a blue cord that it may be on the turban. The turban. And it shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, at the forehead here, there will be a golden plate fastened with blue cords on the turban on the head of Aaron. Holiness to the Lord, that everybody will see. The holy priesthood. Sanji. You can see how holiness is important to God. Many times we emphasize doing this work, we emphasize serving, doing that and this and that, right? But we don't emphasize holiness, so we do a lot of things with unholy hands. You may have done a good job, but God may not accept it. Because for God, the first thing he really checks is the holiness. is the main thing. If it is not holy, then it is not edible, so to speak. Just like the food, right? You're dealing with food science. What is the first rule in the food science?
It's safe to eat.
Safe to eat. Holy. No germs, germ-free. Poison-free. Safe to eat. Otherwise, even if it is so sweet and tasty, people, when they eat it, they get sick. Right. So any offerings that we bring to God must go through this holy priesthood to be offered to the Father so that it will be acceptable. Right. And the high priest will bear the iniquity of all the offerings of the people, making sure they are holy and acceptable to God. Amen. Right. And it shall always be on his forehead that they, all the gifts, the holy gifts brought to him, may be acceptable before the Lord. And you shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread, and you shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work the same thing. Ah, how wonderful it is. And then for the sons of Aaron, you shall make tunics, you shall make coat, right? Garments, and you shall make sashes for them. And you shall make hats for them. For the sons, it's only hats. It's not a turban. So it's different. Christ's garment, priestly garment, is different than our priestly garment. Because we are not capable of wearing what he is wearing. Like Frank says, spiritually it's too heavy. We are too small to wear that. Right, meaning to say we are not qualified to wear the garment of the high priest, only Christ. This is why I kept on saying no one in the church life can replace Christ as our great high priest. No one is qualified. You know, previously, many years ago, they called that the apostle. No, only the Lord is the apostle. And people call him the anointed one. Oh, don't criticize him because he's the anointed one. No, the anointed one is our Lord Jesus. Christ means the anointed. Messiah, that name means the anointed. Literal meaning, the anointed. So do not call anybody else the anointed one. Because only he is the anointed one. And we are all anointed by him. But he alone is the anointed one. Right? So nobody else can replace Christ, and there is only one great high priest. Amen. And you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. How do you define glory and how do you define beauty? Now you know how to define beauty and glory. Right? When you see the tabernacle, you can see in the eyes of God what is glory and what is beauty. It's not that you have so much money, you build a beautiful meeting hall. Wow, that is beautiful. For God, that's nothing. That's nothing. Beauty and glory is the acacia wood overlaid with gold. Right? Standing on silver sockets. And I forgot to say, to tell you how these wood are put together with golden rings, 5 bars. And its bar is also made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold, rounded, and the middle bar went through all of the 20 boards on one side, and then you have two shorter bars on the top and two shorter bars on the bottom, all three rows with five bars. My goodness, all has really wonderful meaning there. The number three, number five, number 10. Like, they're all there, you see. That means all the wooden, golden wood is there. That means overlaid with wood is held together by the bars and the ring. And in the New Testament, we can see it signifies that we are held together by the Holy Spirit. You cannot hold the church together by an organization, by rules and laws, and somebody with a strong hand telling everybody what to do, right? And you have a boss there on top, not the boss on top, but and the pyramid is there. No, if this is what held us together, it's going to fall apart. What should really hold us together is this golden rod, right? Acacia wood, overlaid with gold, with golden rings in each of the boards. And then you push through that golden rod, right? And there are three rows with five bars. And that all signifies that what kept us together is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. That's why Paul says, be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Our oneness is not man-made oneness. Right? Many years ago, we talked about one accord. Right? You remember? One accord. One with whom? Oh, one with the apostle, the top apostle. One with the office. One with the son of the apostle. What kind of oneness is that? Right? That is not acacia wood overlaid with gold. I don't know what it is. Bamboo sticks. Bamboo sticks. Right? No, that is not our kind of oneness. We are not obligated to keep that kind of oneness. Today, let me tell you the truth. Even right now in Europe, they're talking about, we have to be one, we have to be one, one, one. But my question is, what kind of oneness are you keeping? Even if it's wrong, we have to be one. Is that a oneness you want to keep? The oneness we keep today is the oneness with the triune God. According to John 17, the oneness between the Father and the Son, it is that kind of oneness that we must keep today. Not oneness with certain men, not oneness with the elders, even if they are wrong, you have to be one with them. Because they are elders, so you have to listen to them, even if they are wrong, keep the oneness, keep the oneness. What kind of oneness are you keeping? Well, there are many kinds of oneness. Even the mafia, they are one. Oh, keep the oneness. What oneness? Oneness of the mafia. It's also oneness. If you're not one with them, you lose your head. That's also a oneness. Right? There are many kinds of oneness. But here in the house of the living God, our oneness is one with the wonderful triune God. With the Father, with the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. That is the only oneness we are obligated to hold in the church life. Any kind of oneness, we should say sorry. No. This is serious because we have seen so many different kinds of terrible oneness. And at the end, people say, yeah, that's right, we need to keep the oneness. But nobody asks, what kind of oneness are you keeping? may be a very strange oneness, and you'll have to keep that oneness. So you can really see those boards in the west side, in the south side, in the north side, they were all held together by the rods made of exactly the same material. And with golden rings there to hold us together. Nothing else should hold us together. We don't have uniform. We don't have an organization to hold us together. We don't have a strong man on top of there that tells us what to do. No, but we have the wonderful living God, Christ, and the Spirit within us to really keep us in this wonderful divine oneness. Amen.
Amen.
We'll continue tomorrow. We've got two more meetings. What are we going to do? Extend our stay in Tagaytay. Well, tomorrow we'll go on to the consecration of the priesthood, because this consecration is very, very important. It is very different than our natural concept concerning consecration. Right? 祭司只奉献上给神的那个献，不是我们天然的说主啊，我把自己交给你，主宰不要你。今天交给他，明天又拿回来了。不要到明天了，早上交给他，晚上就不要了，晚上就跑掉了。是，那个是人的奉献。所以明天 tomorrow we're going to talk about the consecration. It's not a natural consecration. Lord, I give myself to you, okay, then how long? How long? You might change your mind after 2 days, after 2 weeks. Right? Plus on top of that, what do we have to give ourselves to him? So you can really see tomorrow, we can read in the next chapter, the consecration of the priesthood. Christ is our consecration offering. Without him, your consecration means nothing to God. Man's consecration is not lasting. Yeah. Plus, we have really nothing to give to him. Right? Amen. So, let's have some prayers. Amen.
Oh Lord, we want to serve you in a way that is acceptable to you. Amen.
That's right.
Lord, you are such a heavenly high priest.
Amen.
Oh Lord, you are our garment.
Right.
Amen. Lord, we pray that the Spirit will teach us to experience all this in reality.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, that our service corresponds to you and your tabernacle.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
在圣经里的指引，我们清楚看见他。